This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, we are live and you can call and join in the conversation. This week's topic is something certainly we've mentioned throughout all the different shows that we've done, but we are going to concentrate on casual sex. You can call us at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. Tell me about your experiences with casual sex. Tell me your opinions about casual sex. Tell me about the stigma of casual sex, whatever it is you want. If you're not listening live, but you want to comment on the show or you want to ask a question for a future show, you can call our 24-hour voicemail line at 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. 8266. Let me tell you about today's guest, who, of course, is an expert on the subject. Dr. Zhanna Vrangelova is a New York City-based sex educator and adjunct professor of human sexuality at New York University. She holds a PhD in developmental psychology from Cornell, where she studied casual sex, non-monogamy, and sexual orientation. And her scholarly research has been published in several academic journals. Dr. Zhanna also works to bring accurate scientific information to the general audience by writing for popular media websites such as Forbes, Psychology Today, The New York Daily News, Playboy, Alternet, and Teen Vogue, tirelessly giving media interviews and hosting her own podcast, which Joe Pardavilla called The Science of Sex. In 2015, she gave a TEDx talk entitled, Is Casual Sex Bad for You? And she's currently writing a book on the science of healthy hookups. She also runs the website CasualSexProject.com, a place for people to share their true hookup stories and then read about other people's hookup stories. And of course, her own blog at DrZhanna.com. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Dr. Zhanna.
Thanks for having me.
So I haven't like delved deep into this topic, I realized before I had you on, I was like, you know, we haven't had like a whole show about casual sex. And
wow, in 5 years, not a single show on
exactly.
casual
sex. Exactly. It's like super strange, right? It's super strange. And you're one of the experts on it. You've written so extensively about it. You've been quoted in the media. You're studying the science of casual sex. But your general thesis is that casual sex actually has many potential benefits. And that kind of contradicts the narrative, right, in our society, which is that casual sex, hookup culture is bad. Casual sex is awful for you. It makes you a bad person. You're a slut. You're promiscuous. I mean, on about all the stigma. But tell me what your thoughts are on why it actually could be a good thing.
Well, my thesis, that's sort of one part of my thesis. The other part is that, so it can be good, but it can also be bad. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to portray casual sex as this like amazing thing for everybody all the time. It depends. And that has been my thesis. And not just because I think so, but that's because what the science is showing that. So the data are showing that it really depends, that casual sex can have positive influence in people's lives. And it also can have negative influence in people's lives, depending on who people are, how they go about it, and how their environment perceives them. So there are a lot of factors that can influence that. To look at some of the positives, because people, as you said, most often think of the negatives. Well, I mean, any sex can be fun. right? So sex can be pleasurable and fun, can feel good. It can be exciting because casual sex is often done with people who are novel or relatively novel to us, and novelty to our brains is something that's exciting and rewarding for some brains more than others, but that can be a benefit. You can learn new things, new skills, new bodies. All of those things provide opportunities for learning that you may not be able to have otherwise when you have, you know, sex with the same partner over and over and over and over again. It can make for some great stories. It can, that you can post in the Casual Sex Project. Mm-hmm. It can create connections with people, kind of broaden your social network. It can also feed some of our needs for closeness and intimacy, especially on a more temporary basis, because we all have these needs, and it's certainly possible to have those needs met to some extent in these casual encounters. So all of these things are potential benefits. That doesn't mean that you're going to get all of those in every single encounter and that everybody can get those benefits, but those are all potential benefits.
And let's talk about intimacy, because I think another stereotype is that casual sex is sort of anonymous, devoid of emotion. There is no closeness. There isn't necessarily chemistry or connection. It's just like this wham, bam, and you're done.
Right. So that's one of my greatest pet peeves about casual sex. And on average, that stereotype is not wrong. When you compare the level of intimacy and passion and connectedness that people feel in casual encounters to that experience in more romantic encounters, on average, there's no doubt that romantic encounters win. They are more passionate, more intimate, more connected. However, that doesn't mean that casual hookups have zero intimacy, connectedness, and passion, or that they need to have zero intimacy, connectedness, and passion. They vary quite a bit. So there are a lot of those hookups that feel very disconnected, very devoid of any kind of emotion. And then there are those that do feel quite a bit intimate and passionate. And just because we are having not a particularly non-casual, I guess, just because we don't know the person very well, or just because we haven't committed to spending our lives together, that doesn't mean that we can't bring intimacy and passion. And research shows that those hookups that do have some levels of intimacy, passion, and connectedness are experienced by everybody involved as better. They're more satisfying, people enjoy them more, they feel better about them the next day. And so I think everybody would benefit if we brought in a little more of that to our casual encounters, because as human beings, we have the ability to be casually intimate, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can connect on some level with a person that you don't know at all at a coffee shop or on a plane that you spend a little bit of time with. You can certainly connect with somebody that you're exchanging fluids with, or, you know, getting naked with. So we do have that capacity, but very often we come into casual hookups with this preconceived notion that we should not put in intimacy and passion into them because this is just casual. But we could all strive to bring more of that in, and that'll make for better hookups for everybody.
And so you have this great TEDx talk at the College of William and Mary. And one of the things you say is that whether casual sex works for you depends on who you are and how you do it. Explain that.
Yes. So nothing sexual is for everybody. And there are a number of factors that we've looked at in research. Some of my research and other people's research has done this. Look at these factors that may determine who's a better fit for casual sex, because on one side are all the benefits, but there are definitely all the positives, but there are definitely all these negatives as well. And we have to take into consideration how susceptible we are as human beings, as individuals, to getting some of these positive versus getting some of the negatives. And you mentioned a bunch of the negatives. You can be stigmatized for it. You might not actually get a lot of pleasure out of it. You might get attached to somebody that you don't want to get attached to. You might end up in kind of not very consensual situations, and so on and so on. So obviously STIs are an issue and a worry. And so the question of who casual sex is good for depends on some of these things, like, do you want it to begin with? Very often people do it because of society, kind of peer pressure or partner pressure, or they got drunk, or they're kind of hoping it's not casual sex. So the first thing that people have to ask themselves is, how much do you want this? Because for some people, and that's kind of the critical aspect of what I call authenticity in casual hookups, is this kind of not very long-term kind of situation, relationship context, is this exciting for you? For some of us, it's really exciting. For other people, it's not very exciting. In fact, it's kind of unpleasant or overwhelming, or you don't feel comfortable being sexual with someone that you don't know very well, that you don't feel a lot of emotional connection or romantic commitment to. But so one of the things is, right, is this something that's exciting to you? And if it's not, then you should probably stay away from it because it's not going to feel good. Another thing is, how much pleasure can you get out of it? Some people are really easily aroused, and they also know their bodies so well and can communicate what they need and what they don't need in a casual situation much better than other people. Mm. And so the better you are at getting pleasure out of these situations, especially it's important in casual situations because you are interacting with people who don't know you very well, who may not care that much about your pleasure sometimes. And even if they do, they might not know what to do. So you kind of have to take a lot more responsibility for your own pleasure in these encounters. So the better you are at that, the more you're going to enjoy. As far as social stigma goes, depending on your community, if you're going to be in an environment that is going to stigmatize you a lot for engaging in casual sex, then you're going to suffer because we're all human. As human beings, we're social beings, and we need to be accepted and loved and have a sense of belonging. Also depends on how thick your skin is to deal with some of that slut shaming that's going to come your way. Another thing has to do with STIs and sexual health prevention. How good are you about protecting your sexual health? How much you worry about sexual health, right? Some people, they feel, oh my God, if I get chlamydia, my world is going to come to an end. For other people, it's like, oh, it's chlamydia. It's two pills taken at once and I'm done. Mm-hmm. So that also plays a role, right? So there are all these things that are both in terms of how we are as people on a more personality-based level and what we do in the hookups themselves that can determine, is this going to be a good experience or a bad experience for you?
Okay, we've got to take our first commercial break. There's so much here to talk about. I literally got into one question. Okay, so everyone, we're going to take a break. We're here going to hear from our sponsors, including the Pleasure Chest, which you know has been one of my champions and sponsors for a long time. So stay with us. More on casual sex with Dr. Jhana when we come back. Hey everyone, I love toys that leave an impression. Whether it's your first encounter with the magic wand or the luxurious feel of a leather paddle, everyone has that special toy that's both an implement of pleasure and an aphrodisiac. Haven't met the right toy yet? Well, the Pleasure Chest invites you to fall in lust. With boutiques in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest staff is committed to helping you find the right toy in a safe and non-judgmental environment. Visit pleasurechest.com and browse their educators' picks section for some of my favorites, or visit their special collections page and get inspired. Use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, we're live. Do you have something to talk about where it concerns casual sex? I bet you do. That's our topic for today. And we are live, so you can call us at 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. Hey, speaking of casual sex, I'm about to have some. What? Woo-hoo. Okay. Listen, I want to remind you guys that it's only a week away. 1 week away, the swing set takes over the all-inclusive adults-only resort Desire in Cancun. Folks from Life on the Swing Set and the podcast Ending the Sexual Dark Age are having this adults-only, clothing-optional, amazing vacation. There are theme nights, hands-on demos, workshops, parties, a dungeon, and tons of open-minded, sex-positive peeps. And I was stressing the other day about what to pack and how many bags to take and, you know, the usual stuff, right? It's like, do I need a whole bag just for, like, toys and shoes? And then I thought, you know what? Maybe I should just take the clothing-optional directive and like I don't actually need to pack any clothes. And if I don't have to pack any clothes, then maybe I can do it in one suitcase. I don't know. That remains to be seen. But what I know is there's a couple rooms left. So if you want to be super spontaneous and have a little cash to throw around, or if you want to do a partial time, at the very, very end, they open up blocks so that you don't have to go for the entire week. So if you're someone who the schedule would work better if you went for 4 days or 5 days or whatever, now you can do that. So go to ssdesire.com. and find out more, okay? And I will hopefully see some of you in Cancun very soon. So we're talking with Dr. Jana, a professor and sex educator who not only talks and writes about casual sex, she's actually studying the science of casual sex. And one thing that I thought of when you talked about really having to know your body and having to be able to like communicate really well in casual sex, right? Because there's not this process of sort of getting to know you over time and figuring it out. It's like, it's sort of like a one-shot deal. I think of casual sex as a great way for people who aren't sort of naturally assertive to practice assertiveness. Right? Because here's the thing. I think one of the things that keeps us sometimes from being bossy, especially women, people assigned female at birth, is that, you know, we've been told like we don't need to prioritize our needs and we shouldn't be like giving people instructions and ordering them around and all of this cultural socialization, right? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
But if you want to practice like how to be assertive, instead of doing it in the context of a relationship where you feel like there's a lot at stake and you want this person to like you and you're just getting to know each other and blah, 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 do it on a one night stand because you're literally could like never see this person again. So you can be as bossy as you want and just see what, if you're bossy and they're like, okay, yes, ma'am, I'll do whatever you want. Great. And if you're bossy and they're like, hey, stop bossing me around. You could be like, okay, you can go now. And it's like,
exactly.
It's a win-win situation. Don't you think?
I agree. And I think these kinds of situations, because as you said, the stakes are lower, yeah. You can practice all sorts of things. So one of the things that you can practice is all these like sexual things that you might not feel comfortable exploring with a long-term partner. Because if you're like, I want to pee on you and they're like, oh, gross, I'm leaving you now. You know, stakes are high. But if you do that with a one-night stand, and they're grossed out by it, then yeah, whatever. But that is a great point that you're making, that you can also practice assertiveness, because unfortunately, I think a lot of the time women still carry that with them, that fear of appearing too masculine or too bossy or too dominant and hurting the male ego. But it's a great setting to practice, because very often if you don't do it, you're not going to get what you need. And that's what research is showing, is that in casual hookups, especially in one night stands. And I should point out that when I talk about hookups, I don't just mean casual sex with strangers. That is the most casual of the casual situations. Very often, and more often, people hook up with acquaintances and friends, like people that they know a little bit. And then very mm-hmm. often those are not just a one-time thing. It might be kind of a fling or a fuck buddy situation, or friends with benefits with somebody that, you know, you've seen maybe not a million times, but more than once or twice. But research does show that the less you know your partner, the less likely you are to have an orgasm as a woman in particular. Men are more likely to come in romantic situations too than in casual situations, but women are so much more likely to have an orgasm in romantic situations, which tells us, right, one of the things you have to do in these casual situations is really ask for what you want, because otherwise you're not going to get it. And
yeah, this is the orgasm gap, which lots of folks are talking about now, but especially in heterosexual sex and mm-hmm. heterosexual hookups. Tell me what the research says.
One of the probably most striking examples or illustrations of the orgasm gap is from this large study of about 20,000 undergrads from 22 different universities in the U.S. And they asked them, the last time you hooked up in a hookup involving intercourse, and these are all heterosexual hookups, and did you have an orgasm? About 80% of the men said yes, and 40% of the women said yes. And so, I mean, it's not that orgasm is the end-all be-all, right, of pleasure and enjoyment. You can certainly have a very pleasurable encounter without having an orgasm. But and there is a gap in orgasms, even in romantic encounters, with men being more likely to have an orgasm than women. But that gap is not nearly as big in romantic sex as it is in casual sex. So there is no doubt that we have more work to do. And it seems from qualitative interviews that people have done with both men and women about the context of casual hookups, it seems like the guys care much more about their partner's pleasure if that partner is a girlfriend. Mm. They'll tell to the face of a female interviewer, they'll say, well, if it's a one night stand or a casual hookup, I don't give a fuck about her pleasure. Sorry, I'm not sure if I was supposed to say that.
Oh, you can say fuck. You can say fuck for sure.
But they will say that, right? I don't really care about her pleasure. Hookups are very, very selfish, kind of done for a selfish reason for me. Whereas the women very often don't say that. They try to please their partners, even if it's a one night stand with someone that they'll never see again. So I think everybody here carries part of the responsibility for hookups being not as pleasurable for women as they are for men. Both women have to demand more of their pleasure, and men have to be a little more giving and attentive and try to please women. But very often, I think if you're a woman who wants to hook up a lot and you want to get pleasure out of it, then you kind of have to ask for it. You have to be a little more assertive than you normally are, or that women are normally expected to be, in order to get what you need. And that to get to the point of being able to ask for what you want, first you have to know what you want. Mm-hmm. So, right, there's a process of getting to know your body, what works, what positions work. Do you need to bring a vibrator with you? You can always carry a little pocket-sized vibrator on you if that's what provides.
Or bring a big purse and bring the Hitachi and an extension cord while you're at it.
I mean, even just the little pocket vibrator.
I know.
That can be a huge difference. Very often, so what this study also found is that when women had their hands on their clitoris, when they were touching themselves during this intercourse involving hookup, they were much more likely to have an orgasm than if they weren't doing that. And so that's one thing that, and very often women will be like, oh, I don't feel comfortable. What if, touching myself shows the guy that he's not, you know, doing his job, or he's not skilled enough. And I'm like, who the fuck cares? If that's what's going to provide pleasure for you, then do it. So yeah, it's a very complex issue.
Yeah. And how do we get out of these scripts? I feel like all of this feels so scripted by these really outdated notions of masculinity and femininity and how people are supposed to behave sexually in heterosexual sex. Like, how do we break free from that?
Well, that's a $1 million question. I mean, and to really fully break out of them, and it's totally possible, because if you look at some other cultures like the Nordic countries in Europe, they don't have this problem nearly as much as we do. But that includes a much more structural society-wide based differences. It starts with sexual education in schools, with treating sex as a more positive thing. It includes access to sexual health and reproductive health resources, and changing norms to not slut shame women. And that goes from families, that goes from religious organizations, from schools and peers. And so there's just so many. But if we don't have that, then we have individuals having to to educate themselves, to force themselves to be more proactive, to learn more about how to please others, how to please themselves, and so on. So, yeah.
Okay, we're going to take another break. I know it was a $1 million question, but it's just that some of this, as we get further into talking about it, it just reveals kind of all these biases people have and all these assumptions that people are working under that are not helping anyone, achieve more pleasure.
You have to be the re-educator of your partners.
And of yourself, right?
And yourself, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, kids, we are going to take another break. I don't know how that flew right by, but it did fly right by. Coming up, we're going to talk about age and ageism and casual sex. That's the next topic I want to hit. So stay with us, listen to these commercial breaks, and then come back and talk to me and Dr. Jana about casual sex. See you after the break. Hey everyone, I love toys that leave an impression. Whether it's your first encounter with the magic wand or the luxurious feel of a leather paddle, everyone has that special toy that's both an implement of pleasure and an aphrodisiac. Haven't met the right toy yet? Well, the Pleasure Chest invites you to fall in lust. With boutiques in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest staff is committed to helping you find the right toy in a safe and non-judgmental environment. Visit pleasurechest.com and browse their educators picks section for some of my favorites, or visit their special collections page and get inspired. Use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase. Are you LGBTQIA? Genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the open list features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly aware, kink competent, sex positive, queer affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live
outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1-year trial.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to tristan@puckerup.com. That's tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We're talking today with sex educator and professor of human sexuality at NYU, Dr. Jhana, about casual sex. And I talked about age right before the break when I teased that. So Dr. Jhana, it's clear when you read research and you read these mainstream media articles that a ton of the research around casual sex centers around undergrads. Like it seems like the population we study the most and know the most about. And this is complicated for a number of reasons. And the first one is, I feel like it assumes that's like the hotbed of hookups and casual sex, as if like once you're 24, there's no more casual sex. What's that about?
Well, partly it's about just having access to students a lot more than we have access to anybody else, really. Right. So they're just an easy population to study. And also there has been a lot of conversations around that age being the hookup age. And there is no doubt that casual sex is more likely to happen during that time. And then as people get older, they are more likely to be in longer term relationships, whether marital or not marital. However, that's not to say that older people beyond that college age are not having sex or casual sex, and because they're cheating on partners if they're in long-term relationships. Some have open relationships, some break up with people and get divorced, and so there's a period before they enter another long-term relationship that they're having casual sex. So that definitely happens. There was a nationally representative study of Americans 18 to 59 that looked at the type. Well, they asked, you know, what was the type of partner that you had sex with the most recent time? And about 20% more or less of the older 25 and above said that the most recent partner was a casual or a dating partner. And then another 10%, 10 to 15% said that they were a friend. And then another 10 or 15% said a new acquaintance. So about 40% basically of people over that age of 25 are having sex with casual partners. So it's definitely there. It's definitely happening.
Now, one of the things that's tricky around this, because we have so much data on undergrads, is the role of alcohol in casual sex and how it's nearly omnipresent. Like it's almost always there for folks, right?
Definitely for undergrads. We don't have a lot of data on the quality of the casual encounters among older folks, among non-undergrads. For the undergrads, there is a pretty well-established link that the majority of hookups involve alcohol. And then it also depends on how well you know the partner. The more you know your partner, so the more it's a friends with benefits kind of situation, the less likely it is that alcohol is involved. But when it comes to a hookup with someone that you don't know before, hookups with strangers, about 80 or 90% of those involve alcohol among this college age population. So yeah, alcohol plays a very big role, and that carries with it all sorts of issues, right? Because alcohol lowers your ability to know what you want. It lowers your ability to express your boundaries, to notice that your boundaries might be getting crossed or that you might be putting yourself in a dangerous situation. It decreases your chances of using a condom, even if you had one even if you were planning on using it. It makes it more difficult for you to remember what happened the next day. So it also makes it less likely to enjoy it, to just get the pure sexual pleasure out of it, or even be sexually functional in the situation. So especially at high levels, right? Obviously one or two drinks is not going to have much of these effects, but very often there is binge drinking that happens in relation to these hookups, and that becomes problematic.
I mean, all of these issues of consent then are raised. And I know people have these conversations on college campuses is, you know, we're talking about consent skills and decision making, and yet so few people are having sober sex, right? So you can give them a set of skills, but then if they're drinking, some of this gets,
goes out the window.
Yeah, it goes out the window. And it's really, really difficult.
Absolutely. In fact, research shows that, again, with college students at least, that the number one reason why people say they regret their hookups, if they do, if you ask them, what was the reason you regret your hookup? It's because of alcohol, because they say I was too drunk or intoxicated otherwise, and I was taken advantage because I was drunk or something like that. So alcohol is the number one reason why people wake up the next day and say, oh my God, what did I do? Right. Which is why if I could give people advice for how to have good hookups that they're not going to regret the next day, my number one advice would be don't get wasted.
Right. Yeah.
And then number two would be make sure you communicate your desires and boundaries clearly. But that would be number two, because if you're wasted, you can't do that.
You can't do number two.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Right.
So first, don't get wasted. Then be very clear about what you want and what you don't want.
So you're working on a book about the science of hookups. And I'm wondering if in all of your research, you've come across anything surprising that you think that surprised you, or that you think would surprise the average person about what you've learned about hookup sex?
Oh, I always find this question so difficult, because once you're so engrossed in a topic, nothing surprises you. You kind of or you don't remember if something back in the day surprised you, but no longer does. But I think it's counterintuitive that, let's talk about gender differences for a minute. Very often people say that, or expect that women on average regret their hookups a lot, or feel bad about their hookups, or feel more negative than they feel positive about their hookups. And I've been pleasantly surprised to learn that over and over again, even among college age populations, which I think are having the worst casual sex that they can, precisely because alcohol and not necessarily being very assertive in how they want to go about it. But even in these populations, you find that women as well as men report more positive feelings about their hookups than negative feelings. Now, there is a gender difference, with men reporting more positive feelings than women and fewer negative feelings than women. But within women, if you just look at women, they find their hookups more positive than negative.
Right, so which totally contradicts what we're led to believe, right? Which is that these are all regretful and awkward and awful.
Yeah. Most of them are, if you ask them the next day or the next week, or, you know, think about the most recent hookup that you had, and then how positive was this and how negative was it, many more women will report positive feelings than negative. Although very often it'll be ambivalent. You'll have a mix of both positive and negative feelings, but usually the positives outweigh the negatives. The positive feelings are stronger than the negative feelings.
And what about hookup sex or casual sex do you feel like we still haven't delved into research-wise? What don't we have any good data on?
Oh my God, what don't we have good data on? I would like to see more research looking at some of these factors and how they affect mental health going forward. So I'd like to see more research on, for example, how you negotiate, how condom use or the amount of alcohol use. So we know that alcohol affects how much you regret it the next day, but alcohol, condom use, things like slut shaming and stigma that you may have experienced after the hookup, how much that affects whether you're going to have, let's say, an increase or a decrease in self-esteem, depression, anxiety, and so on. I've started to do some of this research with some of the factors, like the personality characteristics and why your motives, why you did it. But we haven't really done these kinds of analyses with some of the other factors that I've talked about.
Mm, that's really interesting. That's really interesting. And also the aftermath, and then like how that affects both your perception of the experience. Like, I would love to know, I would love
yes.
see a study where mm-hmm. it's like the hookup just happened. It's the next morning and you mm-hmm. self-report, and then you are subjected to slut shaming from peers or from someone in a position of power, or you see a lot of slut shaming in the media or on your social media. And then it's like 2 weeks later after slut shaming, how do you view that same encounter? Is has it shifted?
Yeah.
Or can
Yeah, I think that's fascinating. And I do have some data. So you mentioned the Casual Sex Project as a website that I've been running for a while, for about 3 years now. And we have a lot of stories on there, about 3,000 stories. And I am currently in the process of analyzing some of that data. And I actually have that. Like, I asked people, how did you tell people about it afterwards and how did they react? And so we can look at whether other people's reactions to that encounter affected how positive or how negative their experience was overall. But we need more data. We need better data to do that for sure. Yeah, and absolutely. Also, I also would love to look at things like how people treat each other afterwards. Because very often people get all awkward. There's ghosting that happens. People get really pull away and become, you know, you've spent this extremely passionate, let's say, night together with all sorts of promises and whatnot for going forward, and now the person disappears, or the next time they see you, they don't say hello. And I think those kinds of things, people just don't do well the aftermath of the post-casual sex part of the hookup very well.
Yeah, and we don't have models for sort of like mm-hmm. how to behave, right?
Right.
We don't,
because very often you feel ashamed. Either you feel ashamed about what you did and you feel what I just did was wrong, or very often, and this is more common for men, they feel guilty that they did something to the other person that she didn't want that. Again, this is all in heterosexual situations. Things play out a little differently in among same sex encounters, but. Yeah, very often you either feel guilt or shame.
And that gets projected maybe on the other person, right?
Exactly, yeah. Mm. And so we end up not dealing with this well, whereas there are certainly ways to do that really nicely and well. Send a message the next day saying that was great, or I really enjoyed whatever, how are you doing today? Even that one sentence can change someone's feeling about what we did last night, whether what we did was something bad that I should regret, or it was something nice and fun. And if it happens again, great. If not, that's fine too.
Right, right. That's another interesting piece. It's just the sort of social skills associated with like having an ethical and sort of positive hookup from like beginning to end and the aftermath. Right.
Right? Because I was talking about one of the benefits being increasing your social network. And if you do this right, if you do it well in a way that doesn't hurt the other person, doesn't disrespect the other person, you can collect these people. And even if you don't want to hook up with them again, they can become friends. They can become acquaintances. They can, you know, this is something that doesn't have to be a bad thing. And I know a lot of people who are really good at that, who have their hookup partners, whether they were a one-time or a friends with benefit for a while, and then if that ended, if for whatever reason they don't want to have sex with them again, but they become friends, and it can certainly be a nice thing to have, as opposed to we hooked up once and now I'm never going to talk to you again, I'm going to avoid you in the dining hall when I see you, kind of thing.
And it's like always going to be awkward, right? Okay, we got to take another break. That's a really good point, the social skills of sort of negotiating them and then negotiating the after. Let's take a break and hear from our sponsors, and we will have more on casual sex with Dr. Jhana when we get back. Hey, everyone. I love toys that leave an impression. Whether it's your first encounter with the magic wand or the luxurious feel of a leather paddle, everyone has that special toy that's both an implement of pleasure and an aphrodisiac. Haven't met the right toy yet? Well, the Pleasure Chest invites you to fall in lust. With boutiques in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, the Pleasure Chest staff is committed to helping you find the right toy in a safe and non-judgmental environment. Visit pleasurechest.com and browse their educators' picks section for some of my favorites, or visit their special collections page and get inspired. Use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, by now you haven't called in, but maybe you're not listening live and you do want to call in with comments and questions about casual sex. You can call our 24-hour voicemail, 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. Let me tell you what's coming up at the Pleasure Chest, which, as you know, has a bunch of free workshops. They are all from 8 to 10 p.m. They're first come, first serve, and they're part of their commitment to their Pleasure Ed program, which is sex education for everyone. November 1st in Chicago, Kinky and Creative Blowjobs with Ren. November 1st in L.A., OMG Spot with Coco. And then lots going on in New York City coming up. October 28th, there is a decorative rope social with Midori, internationally renowned rope bondage expert Midori. There's going to be this social, there's going to be mingling and refreshments, and then she'll like help you do these amazing rope ties, and then you can go out on the town. November 1st, Advanced G-Spot and Gushing with Sloan. November 2nd, 12 Steps to Sexy Aging, starting now, with amazing expert, one of my favorite presenters, Joan Price. And November 3rd, Awkward Sex and the City Comedy Show. That's all happening at the New York City Upper East Side location of Pleasure Chest. Go to pleasurechest.com to find out about these events and more. So we've been talking all day today, all day. No, we've been talking for the past hour. We've been talking for the past hour with Dr. Shauna about casual sex. Maybe I have been talking all day about casual
sex.
Well,
I certainly talk about casual sex all day long. Yeah, every day, all week long, all month long. That's my life.
And we've uncovered a whole bunch of things. I think this has been a really good education for folks who haven't thought about these things. Do you think that our future is filled with more casual sex?
Do I think that? I think maybe a little more than what we are having. And again, depends on how you define casual and how casual is casual. I think we're definitely seeing more relationship models happening and with greater mobility of people and more consensual non-monogamy and all of that, I think we are going to probably see a bit more of an increase of casual sex than what we're having now. And as things become more progressive in terms of social norms and people feel a little more comfortable engaging in some of these things. But I don't think that we're going to ever get to a point where everybody is doing it all the time, primarily because that's not what people want. most people, and this is going to surprise some, but most men in, as well as most women, what they mostly want from their romantic and sexual relationships are these long-term committed type relationships with maybe the occasional novelty and the occasional casual encounter here and there. But that's just the basic desire that people have for sexual novelty and at the same time for sexual stability and love and care and intimacy and all of those things. So I don't think we're ever going to get to a point where people are just having one-night stands left and right and not actually having relationships.
But do most people want that or report that they want that because we've been fed that by the culture, that that monogamy and commitment and that that the that there is a standard of relationship and it's this and this is what you should want?
I think that the desire or the preference for complete monogamy and long-term relationships is probably to some extent engineered culturally, but the desire, the need to be in stable, long-term, loving, dependable kind of relationships, that is very human. That is deep inside us. That is one of those things that has helped the human species be as successful as it is. At the same time, as we have this need for novelty, adventure, mystery, risk, and all that, that has allowed us to kind of progress and go into new and unexplored territories. So both of those things are part of our human essence. And so then different people have them to different extents. So that need for long-term deep connections with people, that's not going to go away. But I think that our insistence on absolute complete monogamy in those long-term commitments that we have, that is probably, well, we know that it's unrealistic because it doesn't work out for so many people. And I think that probably we're going to see that relax. But I don't think that most people are going to get, even if we lived in a society where complete non-monogamy was perfectly fine. In fact, most people were engaging in some sort of non-monogamy. I don't think you're going to get to most people having these extremely open relationships where people are having sex with multiple people every week, they're going to orgies every week. That's a minority of people who wants to do those things. And nothing, obviously nothing wrong with that. But I think most people are probably going to end up, even if we allow greater flexibility and understanding in terms of that, I think most people are going to end up with long-term relationships that are more of the monogamish kind where, yeah, every now and then maybe things kind of fly in, but it's not a thing that we do all the time with hundreds of people, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously we're seeing a shift in, you know, more visibility and more open discussion around non-monogamy. And so you see it really shifting in the way of like, people still want to partner or pair mm-hmm. bond if they're birds. Mm-hmm. But they would like to incorporate, like you said, this idea of novelty, maybe in a more consensual way than people mm-hmm. have been doing it. And so that's where the shift takes place, is like mm-hmm. the way the relationship is defined to include some of these other things.
Right, right. And I'm all for it, right? Alternative relationship model, finding the kind of relationship that works for you and your partner without having to lie and hide or repress desires that are really core part of who you are. That's absolutely great. I just don't think that, because some people think, you know, if you let people do whatever they want, then you're going to get to the point of everybody having sex nonstop all the time with hundreds of people. And I don't think that is going to happen because most people don't want that. Mm-hmm. Those are the desire to do that is distributed on a bell curve. Just like everything else, like extroversion, introversion, right? Some people are super, super extroverted. Some people are super, super introverted. And many people are somewhere in between. It's a bell curve. So this is a bell curve too. Our people, sex drive is a bell curve. Mm-hmm. Some have zero sex drive. Some want to have sex 17 times a day, right? Sexual novelty, need for sexual novelty is a bell curve. Some have zero of it. They're perfectly happy to be with just one person for their entire lives. And some are on the other extreme. They want thousands and thousands of partners. Most people are somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much for spending a little bit of your Friday night with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Jhana is a New York City-based sex educator and professor of human sexuality at NYU. You can find out more about her at drjhana.com, drzhana.com. And of course, you can share your story and read other people's stories at casualsexproject.com. Dr. Jhana is also at Dr. Jhana on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Periscope. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, who I'm going to see in a week in Cancun, and I can't wait, Coop. Matt, my engineer, everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern for another edition of the show. I absolutely love, love, love my listeners. And I just came back from Dallas where I had an amazing time. I met so many incredible people from various elements of sex positive communities there. But I want to do a special shout out to, I'm not going to name you, but to the couple from Pittsburgh who listens to my show. And because of a work commitment, were able to meet me in Dallas at one of my events. So they took the trip all the way to Dallas for work and pleasure. They came to one of my events. I met them afterwards. I found them super lovely. And I want to thank you guys for making the trip. And I hope I see you again somewhere. I've obviously got to get to Pittsburgh somehow. Okay, so in the meantime, as I'm trying to get to Pittsburgh, you can find me on facebook.com/asktristan. On Twitter, the show is at Sex Out Loud Radio. And I am on Twitter and Instagram at Tristan Taramino. Have a great weekend and take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.